we wrap up week 4 of the new Buckmaster Show. I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, January 28th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. If you have a comment, story idea, or a question for us, you can email me at thebuckmastershow.com site. On Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, it's the Friday Focus. We bring in a newsmaker into our studios for questioning by myself and one of our reporters' roundtable regulars. This week it's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And this week's Friday Focus features the mayor of Tucson, Mayor Bob Walkup. Mayor Walkup, good to see you.
Great to be here.
You have a big smile on your face this morning, and bigger than even usual. And I think it's because I'm anticipating it. The city streetcar spending finally getting okayed.
Well, I tell you, I have a smile for a couple reasons. This has been a tough 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm very proud of the Tucson region, its resiliency, and honoring those that lost their lives and making sure that those were injured got out of the hospital. But on top of that is arrival yesterday of a very important document called a Fonzie.
Fonzie?
Fonzie. I said, a what? And it's a finding of no significant impact by the FTA about the modern streetcar. It is the last official document that says you are hereby cleared to spend the $63 million that was provided in the Tiger Grant back in February. So what it was a letter with a checkbook. And that means we can start construction, which is exactly what we're going to do.
When will the construction begin?
Well, we've been kind of sneaking construction for a number of months, but this means really getting underway. The very first project will be the bridge across the Santa Cruz. We will let, within 2 weeks, a request for proposals, let a contract to start the construction, probably the first of March, maybe the latter part of March. We will have the bridge built by the end of 11 to get ready for the arrival of the streetcars that are currently being built using RTA money. But the $63 million are construction money, so it starts right now.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, I was just wondering, you hear a lot about people saying, well, why don't we just have a bus? Why don't you just have something other than something in the ground that's going to be there for a very long time? Why not?
You have to do the financial analysis, and there are places for buses. Make no mistake. But what seems to be really working well is the investment community that says, "Oh, all right, those are the rail, and that's kind of a mass transit. So we can handle 10,000, maybe even 12,000 people, and this is the rail that connects two centers of energy. It's the university with downtown." So the investment community says, boy, I want to be along the rail. It happened in up in Phoenix, and I tell you, right now it's happening in Tucson. We're seeing private segment coming up with a lot of investment money. I'm guessing about $1 billion worth of investment just because of the efficiency and the effectiveness of a light rail.
What are the... Is there still talks underway about moving or discussion about moving the SunTran site, the Ronstadt Center, across the river to the west side?
No, I've never heard the west side. I've heard closer to I-10. And Ronstadt, one of the proposals is just make it smaller. It's a half a city block, and we think that it could be smaller, and then maybe convert the portion that's up against Congress into commercial. So the real discussion is, where does Greyhound go? And it is really originally proposed to come back along the train depot. But I think what we'd like to do is have it closer to I-10 and keep it there.
It's about 11 minutes now, 12 minutes past, coming up on 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on Friday Focus. Our guest, Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. Mayor Walkup, you were back in Washington for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. You called for all of the mayors who attended that meeting to call on them to be a little more civil, a civility pack, if you will. Did all of the mayors get on board? And then I understand you also met with the president and 11 other mayors, or a dozen mayors, basically, that went over to the White House.
It was quite a week. The conference of mayors has been scheduled for a long, long time. And with the Tucson tragedy that we had starting on the 8th, and the arrival of the president on Wednesday, and the magnificent speech that he gave, and he challenged
some are saying
us.
It's the best speech of his career that he gave here in Tucson.
Well, I think so. As a matter of fact, I've got to tell you that when I met him at the White House, and we were going to talk about the State of the Union speech with the 11 other mayors. The first thing I said to him, I said, "Mr. President, that was the finest speech that I have ever heard anybody ever give." And the other mayors broke into a big round of applause because it was. And in it, he said, he used kindness and generosity and compassion. And are we doing right by our children and our community? And I thought it was very interesting that he linked how we treat our children with how we treat our community. And to me, that was a significant link up. So as a result of that, we put together a civility accord. How are we mayors going to do things? How are we going to treat each other and treat our the people that put us into office? That was submitted on Wednesday. It was adopted, and I presented it to the mayor, to the president on Friday.
I wanted to ask along the lines of the civility pact. There's a lot of talk about being civil, toning down rhetoric, but what does that mean if the people who realize maybe we've overstepped or something like that decide to take matters into their own hands and be civil and sign these pacts, but the people who we think maybe aren't being civil, aren't being considerate of each other and are using these vitriolic words, don't seem to think that they're part of the whole equation and part of the problem? What do you do?
I was asked that question by a guy by the name of Scott Simon at Public Radio. And he said, well, Mr. Mayor, he said, civility has been around for a long time. It goes back a couple thousand years when people started saying, well, what does civility mean and who establishes the standard? And he said, what do you do when, you know, your son comes in and uses bad language, right? And I said, well, it happened to me. My son came in, was using bad language, and I said, oh, wish you wouldn't do that. He said, but Dad, you know, the people in the playground use this language all the time. And I said, but not in this house. Oh, okay, Dad. I think that's kind of what we're saying. We conduct a city council meeting every week, and I absolutely will not allow booing in the council chambers. I think that's disrespectful, and I think that's uncalled for. You can cheer your position. And I tell you, I've had to bang down on people that for a half an hour gave their position, and one person stood up and said, well, here's my position, and they booed. And I said, you do that one more time, and I'm clearing this place. That's kind of what I think that we're saying is good manners, respect, and let everybody talk and give them a fair shake.
We've got about 2 minutes before our break, and Sarah Garrett Gaston is here from the Arizona Daily Star, and we're talking with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. You have an announcement this morning on the Buckmaster Show about memorial funds and perhaps a consolidation of efforts to remember those that were killed or injured in the tragedy of January 8th.
Yes. And this is something that is underway. And our phone has been off the hook on what can we do and how will we do it. And people are setting up funds and which ones are authenticated as reasonable funds. So we met with Ron Barber, who is now back functional. He's not out of bed yet. Now, I talked to him. He said he still has a little bit of trouble, but he has a phone.
The longtime Gabrielle Gifford's aide who was injured and wounded in the incident.
And we all agree that what we need is a citizen-led committee or commission to work through a memorial. So that meeting was last night. I think the people that are listening to this broadcast, which I now understand is substantial, will be putting that out, kind of coming from Gifford's office, on putting together a region-wide committee to be able to figure out where it goes, what it looks like, how much money is there to do it. But it'll be a permanent memorial. And that's in addition to organizations like the Food Bank, the Red Cross, the Victims Witness Program.
They've done, all of those organizations have done a great job.
Absolutely. So it's underway, and I would ask everybody be a little bit patient. Yes, there will be a memorial fund. It'll be led by the citizens.
Okay, it's about coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. We are going to take a break and hear from some of the fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. But when we come back with Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, I'm sure we'll be getting into the city's budget situation. That's coming up next on the budget, on the Buckmaster Show.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Now 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330, and we are always at buckmastershow.com. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me on Friday Focus today, and our Friday Focus interview is with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. And before the break, we were talking about memorial funding, but now perhaps a permanent physical-type memorial. Sarah, you want to get into that?
Yeah, I also wanted to know if anything's underway as far as a permanent thing, but then also what do you as a resident of the city think should be done with all these heartfelt cards and candles and trinkets and mementos and totems that people have left at UMC and in front of Gabby's office?
Well, and a lot of them are still being maintained. So I think that the public has to decide. And frankly, Mark and Gabby, and by the way, I think within days she's going to be able to participate in a lot of these decisions, I would guess. I say that cavalierly because I'm just reading the same newspaper that you're reading, and her recovery has been
astounding. Yes.
So anyway, but Ron Barber clearly is leading that. So I think that the group will decide when and what and how. I believe that there is a leaning for a fairly significant permanent memorial place. Where and how and what it looks like will be determined by the public. I have my preference on where I think it goes. I think a lot of people, I think out of her office, also believe that we really need to honor the people at UMC, the docs and the nurses that aided all those people. We need to be sure we're honoring those that lost their lives and those that were injured. It will be a permanent memorial site selected by the public, and that's what Ron Barber and my office and UMC are already started the process of talking about how to organize that.
And I just want to make sure that I understand that you don't have inside information about her progress. You're reading the same reports the rest of us are.
Absolutely. I've always kind of read and listened to the docs, and they've been very cautious about that. But tremendous recovery means that she's gaining all of it. Has to mean that she's gaining the use of her limbs and her eyes, I think, have been reported. So we just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, her office is up and functioning.
You know, one more question before we do go on to the budget, because you have done probably almost in the hundreds of interviews with radio, television, print journalists from all over the world. As you reflect back on that, some of your thoughts. I mean, you were going for a period there, I think, pretty much 24/7 because of the different time cycles with European media and East Coast media. You were doing almost 24/7 interviews.
The role of a mayor in a tragedy or an event is very clear. And matter of fact, we started about 4, 5, 6 years ago on being sure that our trauma center was well established, that we had the best docs that we could possibly find, that was large enough to be able to handle, and we practiced. So when this happened, I got a phone call from Andrew Greenhill, and he just said three words. He said, "Gabby's been shot." And I knew that the community was in tragedy. It was going to be a tragic event. So
Andrew is your chief of staff. Yes. So he called you that Saturday morning right away.
Right away. And my first role is be sure that the first responders have responded. And I don't have to do much checking because the police and the sheriffs and the ambulances, the medics, the hospital, all know exactly what to do. So my job is communicate, get out the information, make sure the information is right. And if you recall, there was a time there where we said Congresswoman Giffords had died, and there were two shooters. And that information just went around the world. So we had to say that's not true and get that information out. But I don't know how many, but it was around the clock because of the different time zones. And everybody was interested in Tucson, Arizona, and what's going on. And so it was spirited. But clearly that was part of my responsibility, is communicate.
I wanted to switch to the budget, if we could. There have been reports as far back as November that there could be as many as 400 layoffs as the city tries to deal with the budget. And now, a couple months later, it's down to maybe 35, maybe none, if people are able to find jobs. That's probably good news for those people, of course. But also, as the public, you go from it's going to be very bad to maybe not so bad to ta-da, everything could be fine.
Yeah.
So from a public point of view, how do we know what we should be believing? Yeah.
Well, it is the same thing. When we said layoff means we give you a pink slip, right? Which is the worst thing that you can possibly do. So when we were looking back 6 months ago, we said, boy, we have about 200 to 300 more people than we can afford. What we didn't know is how many people will be leaving the organization. We knew there would be some, but what happened between then and now is that through the ranks of the city, we had a lot of people saying, well, I think I'll retire. I think I've got another job I can go to. That's called attrition. So the best possible solution in a tight budget time is that people are saying, I think I'll retire. The ranks will go down. So they went down slowly, but in police and fire, we had some more rapid attrition than we had expected. So we said, all right, we're just not going to replace you. So it's the same effect, but it's not as devastating to families to be able to say, oh, I'm sorry, here's your pink slip, and we're laying you off. So it gets there. It's a much softer landing for the people, but the city is down 900 people. We met our reductions, and now it looks as though attrition is going to be able to handle it. So we're not going to have to give pink slips. We've already done some of that, but I see it as the best possible solution is if you can do it through attrition, take that avenue every single time. It is not, you're not kidding anybody. You're still down some 900 people. We're down to 1996 manpower, which is a substantial reduction in the city manpower, which yields a much lower budget.
What signals are you getting from Phoenix about Rio Nuevo?
We are still struggling with what's the truth on Rio Nuevo and what was the value of the investment that we made over the last 7 years. I don't know. I think that we're working on a relationship with the new Rio Nuevo board, which, by the way, I'm very pleased with. We've got some IGAs that we're working on.
Intergovernmental agreements.
intergovernmental agreements. It's very clear that they want to see us investing in revenue-generating projects. We canceled the convention hotel, but not the concept of a convention hotel. The Garfield Traub just got too pricey. So we all believe that we're going to work to reestablish a convention hotel, which is what Phoenix has asked us to do. So I'm still very bullish that we'll get a convention hotel, that we'll get a upgrade to TCC. The modern streetcar is going to generate commercial developments in downtown and really create jobs for Tucson, which is what this is all about.
Okay, Mayor Walkup, thank you for being our guest on the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. And Sarah Garrett-Gasson will be sticking around after the break. And the Friday Radio Roundtable is coming up in about 4.5 minutes right here on KJLL and BuckmasterShow.com.
Tucson's Jolt. Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio Special Report, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The streets of Cairo are filled with angry protesters. They want President Hosni Mubarak out after a nearly 30-year rule. There are curfews in the cities of Cairo, Alexandria, and Suez. CNN's Nick Robertson describes the scene in Alexandria.
A police truck driving past with the windscreen smashed out. The passenger in the front seat appears to be a policeman with his head in his hands, holding his head. I can see black smoke drifting up from what appear to be fires in some of the buildings in the center.
Egyptian soldiers are on the streets of Cairo for the first time since the problem started on Tuesday. Opposition leader Mohammed al-Baradei is under house arrest. The White House is keeping a close eye on the developments in Egypt. President Obama is getting several updates a day on the situation. This is a special report from CNN Radio.
AutoZone.
Don't let reduced visibility increase your chances for an accident. Get to AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Rain, snow, or sleet and bad wiper blades on your windshield are a hazardous combination. AutoZone is here to help you be safe and save money. Right now, when you buy one Bosch Icon wiper blade, you get a second one for half price. Limit two. See store for restrictions and details. Drive safely all winter. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on the World Wide Web anytime at buckmastershow.com. It's time for the Friday Radio Roundtable. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. Mark Evans is here from the TucsonCitizen.com. And former State Senator John C. Scott, General Manager of KJLL and host of the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 p.m. weekdays here on The Joel. John, we'll begin with you. Sarah and I ran out of time there with the mayor, and we didn't get a chance to ask him, is he in or out for going for another term? What did he tell you?
He said yes, and then he said no, and then he said maybe. And, you know, I think he's still thinking about it. Don't you, Sarah?
I got that impression.
He likes that job, and he's been there a long time. And, I'm curious, and maybe somebody can answer this question. I have no idea whether it's going to be a nonpartisan race or not. Does anybody know? I mean, do you know, Sarah?
I don't. Mark knows. Mark knows.
Well, you're right. Well, the law that the state passed that was going to change the way Tucson does its elections is hung up in the appeals court, but there is no injunction, so the law should still be in effect. City says it's going to run its election this year like it always has, which is the nonpartisan way.
But if it runs nonpartisan, you have, I guess, a primary in which it's a nonpartisan right. deal, and you throw everybody's name on there, and the top two face off. Is that? Do I understand that correct?
No, the city's planning on doing it the partisan way.
But if not,
right.
then that's the way it would work in a nonpartisan race. There would be a runoff, and then two people, if you didn't get 50% of the vote, you'd run against the second person?
Right.
Is that the
right
deal?
That's the way they do it in some of the smaller cities, or Valley, Moran, and the like. But the issue is going to be whether they can try to enjoin the city from having the election that way, since it is at the appellate court.
Sarah, the State of the Union address on Tuesday began, of course, with a mention of the Tucson shooting tragedy. We talked at length with Mayor Walkup and his experience about the tragedy. But this was kind of Tucson, again, very much in the national spotlight.
It was. And you could see some of the people who were so closely affected up in the First Lady's box with Michelle Obama. I think the Green family was there, and Daniel Hernandez Jr. And, of course, the empty seat with the Arizona delegation for Gabby. It was very much part of the tone, I think. I thought it was great to see people sitting together. I think it's one thing to be all rah-rah and our side is the best when you're sitting among people who think like you do, and it's kind of a group thing rather than sitting one next to each other where it's more your opinion, not just you're part of the bigger group. So I thought that was good.
If we can get all of them out of the echo chamber, that's only good for everybody. Yeah. So the key is going to be next year's State of the Union, are they all back to left and right and only standing up half the time? And,
John, I'm very curious about how all of this is playing around the world. Tucson, Arizona is suddenly, everyone knows where Tucson, Arizona is. Maybe they'll learn how now to spell it and not spell it with T-U-S instead of, course, T-U-C. But you did national, international interviews. We were talking with the mayor. He was going 24/7 pretty much because of the European news cycles doing interviews. What do you think? You did your show for 2 hours. C-SPAN brought cameras here to KJLL. What does this do for Tucson, Arizona, or what does it not do for this community?
Well, I think it put it in a terrible light until people realized how many heroes we had and the president's response. Initially, I think it a lot of people were not surprised it happened here because of 1070, because of ethnic studies, because of the battle over the 14th Amendment. I think people just thought, well, there's a climate for this. I really believe that was the initial impression that it could happen here, and perhaps even it was likely to happen here. I think after so much was said about, one, the madman who may not have had any political motive, but also the great heroes here. A man steps in front of his wife to take the bullets. Perhaps a federal judge throws himself in front of an aide to the congresswoman. The idea that the assailant was brought down by people unarmed. I guess there's one person that was armed, but initially somebody hit him with a chair and he was armed. I mean, people would have asked, what are you thinking here? But, I mean, people responding in such a instant and immediate way, sacrificing their lives for others. What an incredible story that is. And I said from the beginning, that's the story here, beyond the tragedy. So I think Tucson, but again, you know, Russell Pierce is throwing 14th Amendment right back in our face. I think we're going to go back into this perception that Arizona is just a backward
state.
The
eligibility thing is coming up about presidential citizenship.
Absolutely. I'm so surprised that Pierce, decided to throw this into the mix. He had promised to others that he would not do that. He would get through the economic woes of the state first, but by God, he did. He made it front and center. And
The budget was supposed to be the big issue.
It's going to be completely distracted away from the budget. They don't want anybody to look at the budget because they haven't been able to manage the budget for 3 years. We're back to, an $800 million hole for this year, the current year that we're still only have about 4 months left to for the fiscal year. And they're looking at another $1.5 billion for next year, and they have no idea how they're going to balance those books. Let's not talk about that. Let's say that Americans, kids that are born in America aren't citizens, and let's have that fight. It won't do anything to solve the immigration problem. People are not coming into the United States to have an American citizen. They're coming here to get a job to make their lives better. Having children is simply a circumstance of that.
And I have to say that with all the talk of civility and being more sensitive to other people, There are words, and words are very, very important. I mean, I deal in words every day. We all do. But also civility and decency to each other has to do with laws that are passed and bills that are put forward and the legislative action that happens in our state. And so it's one thing to talk about being civil, you know, one person to another. It's also another to talk about being civil and decent to each other in terms of the climate and the laws and what government and our communities are doing to each other in Arizona and what that means.
Yeah, there's a Kirsten Sinema, the state senator from Phoenix, said yesterday that this bill, as written, would not allow a military woman who had a child on foreign soil that would be a citizen of the United States.
That's, oh, my goodness. I mean,
they said that's another thing. I don't know whether they've read it or not, you know, but there's all kinds of flaws.
It's all grandstanding. If they really wanted to do something about illegal immigration, there is one law that they could pass or they've already passed that they could strengthen. They could empower the Attorney General to investigate businesses who hire illegal aliens, because that is the crux of the whole thing. If Americans were not giving illegal immigrants jobs, then the illegal immigrants wouldn't be coming here. And so crack down on the businesses, and you'll stop the illegal immigration.
It's 42 minutes past the hour. This is the Friday Radio Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show. The recall effort, John C., is getting cranked up against Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. You and I have both known the sheriff for many, many years. Does this thing have any legs to it?
Only if pigs fly. if we can look out the window and you go, oh, my God, there's a pig flying, then it would possibly happen. But Clarence Dupnik's the most popular political figure in southern Arizona. I think people understood his emotion. I think they understood his sincerity. I think he created a dialogue that has to take place in America. I think perhaps his statement changed. I think that's why perhaps adversaries were sitting next to each other at the State of the Union. Clarence Dupnik changed things because he was willing to say what a lot of people were thinking, whether it was right or wrong, no matter what. He changed it because of his stature, because he was there, and because of how he said it. I think you got to give him credit for that. But you're not going to be Clarence Dupnik. I don't care who you are, no matter what you do. He's just too popular, and I think people like him or not. Agree with him or not, respect him for saying what he believed and understood the emotional content in which he gave it, and you're not going to beat him. It's ridiculous.
And as we said in the Stars editorial today, I mean, this is being the person driving the bus on this is some guy out of Salt Lake City, which is not in Arizona, the last time I checked, and it's just grandstanding. It's trying to latch on to the heat and the attention that we've been getting in Arizona and in Tucson, and the idea that you're wanting to recall someone who's a political elected official for something they said rather than their performance and their job as a law enforcement officer is just ridiculous. And I think it kind of proves his point.
It's abuse of the recall process, too. Arizona put when they created the Constitution, when Arizona became a state, they put recall in there. In fact, we couldn't become a state because it was in our Constitution, and President Taft wouldn't approve it. So they took it out. Taft signed it, allowed us to become a state, and we went and put it right back in the next year because we believed in it. It was a populist thing, and it was so to remove elected officials who were not doing their jobs, who were performing poorly, who hadn't lived up to what they said they were going to do when they got elected in. And that's what it's supposed to be used for, to be say, I disagree with what Sheriff Dupnik says, therefore, because I disagree with him, he can't be sheriff, is wrong. You don't like the guy? Okay, in 2 years when he's up for election, then put up a good candidate who could run for sheriff and vote for him.
Dupnik angered the left when he said 40% of Sunnyside School District students were illegal. I mean, you know, nobody wanted to recall him then. You know, the Utah guy would have, you know, been cheering for him, you know. Clarence is outspoken and he's expected to be 75. He says, I'm going to say what I think, and I think people understand that and like him, and you're not going to recall him here.
And I also think he did not go through a laundry list of person A, B, C, D, and E who he was targeting with his comments. He was saying we need to be more civil to each other. We need to tone down the rhetoric. This vitriol is just hateful. And the people who are responding to it, assuming that he was talking about them, I think kind of also proves his point.
Let's go back to the state budget. John, you've had a busy week on the John C. Scott Show talking to lawmakers about this, trying to get the governor trying to get the federal health care mandates dropped for Arizona. The chances of that happening, slim to none. But if the Obama administration says no to that, then they're going to start, the state lawmakers, do you see them using that as an excuse to start cutting?
Well, they say there's no plan B. I mean,
how can there not be a plan
B? Well, there's no plan B. I was talking with Tobin, the majority leader of the House, just yesterday. He said, no, we don't have a plan B. You know, we were talking with people in the Senate. They really don't have another plan. And I don't think the Obama administration is going to like there's certainly no plan beyond that. I mean, they're counting on stripping 300,000 people off access to save millions of dollars, but that's just not going to happen. And the ramifications for that are just enormous. I mean, we're all going to pay more in health insurance. Somebody's got to pick up the tab. The idea there'll be 42,000 people that may lose their jobs in the medical industry, which is the only growth industry we have, is just insanity. They're going to have to find another way. And you're right. I think Mark's right. Sarah's right. You're right. I think they're going to cut. And where they're going to cut, I assume it's where the money is, and that's in education, that's in health care, and wherever they can find it, that's where they're going. I think they're going to do revenue sharing for the cities. I think they're going to come, they'll find it wherever they can get it.
Well, here's the problem is more than two-thirds of the state budget pays for three things. Medicaid, which is access, the health care for the poor, K-12 education, and the universities. In all three of those, there is protected funding. That the voters have said, you know, we want this money spent, and there's other things in the Constitution that says this money has to be spent. So they can't cut it unless they want to get tied up in courts forever. And so that leaves one-third of the budget. Well, that's roughly the hole that we're in. And so if they wanted to close the entire state government, including the legislature, just have no government whatsoever, they might be able to balance the budget. So the problem is structural. They have to put forward a number of structural reforms that will completely overhaul the way the state funds itself, and they're not even talking about that. And that's just crazy. And we've known that since 2007 when we got into this mess.
Marshall Vest, the U of A economist, has been talking about this since 2007, saying you could fire every state worker, you could get rid of all of these departments, and it's not going to get us out of this mess.
But it's so much easier to talk about little babies who were born in the United States that they should not be citizens. It's so much easier to distract and divert the discussion rather than sit down and do the really, really hard, unpopular work that needs to be done and has needed to be done for a long time. And I am just hoping that the people of Arizona can see through this just smokescreen of throwing this 1070 and the birthright citizenship and see it for what it is, which is just a distraction and a sideshow to the real work that really needs to be done to save our state and to make it a place people want to live and actually want to come to.
John.
Well, Sarah is so right, and it is a diversion. I just don't know whether there is a plan to try to balance this budget. Every gimmick has been used. They've sold and leased back their buildings. They've stripped particular impact fees from wherever they could get them. In talking with Ken Strobeck of the League of Cities and Towns, they're petrified that the cities are just going to get hammered here with revenue sharing cutbacks. We know that they're talking about sending state prisoners to county jails, the obvious idea of taking juveniles and placing them and their criminal problems into the responsibility of the counties, which will increase our property tax. I think you're right. I think Mark's right, Sarah's right. This is a diversion. But a diversion that's not going to go, is not going to work, because people are going to come back and say, you know, we still haven't balanced this budget. We still owe $1 billion. What are we going to do now? And they've got it. They've got to raise revenue. They've got to come back with some kind of tax plan, which I doubt that they're willing to consider. But without it, the state will never balance its budget, and we will never get out of this mess, and we will always be on the precipice of total financial collapse. And that is basically where we are, and I don't think that's an exaggeration.
And I think that's the plan.
We're going to take a quick call to our Friday radio roundtable. So Mark Evans, John C. Scott, and Sarah Garrett Gaston, go ahead with the call.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you.
one thing I never hear anybody talking about, and it's really a huge crisis for our state, is the $1.5 billion that was fed into the government last year, or into the Arizona Retirement Employees Fund of the 110,000 Arizona State retirees. That's what it took to keep their fund level to their guaranteed rate of return. And isn't that about 15% of our budget now or more? And what are we going to do about that?
That's a good question. The Arizona Republic, Arizona Star, have written a number of stories about the retirement system crisis and proposed solutions for how they're going to fund that. There's only two options. One is to renege on the promises that were made to retired government workers and the current government workers and cut their benefits, which has implications and could end up in court, of course. And then the other one is to raise a tax and put more money into it. But something will have to be done. This is a crisis that is across the country, and Arizona is in serious trouble. So you're correct in pointing that out. It's just one of the things that they need to address that is not being addressed.
Good question from the caller, and that will wrap up the Friday Radio Roundtable. Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com, John C. Scott from KJLL, Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you very much, and all of you have a great weekend. We'll be back with Weekend Watch, What's Going On This Weekend with Matt Russell, coming up next on The Buckmaster Show.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
I always love to hear that music because it signals it's the weekend. It's time for Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday morning, we will be joined by Matt Russell, Tucson publicist and host of the weekly radio show On the Menu Live, which airs Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL. Matt, welcome again to the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks so much, Bill, and I have to agree with you. That music is great. In fact, I think I'm going to start my weekend the minute I hang up the phone with you right now. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.
A lot going on this weekend. Of course, the Tucson Gem and Mineral Showcase getting all cranked up, but there's something going on at the one of my favorite places in the foothills, the Hacienda del Sol.
Absolutely. My pick this Sunday afternoon, Bill, from 3:30 to 5:30, the place to be is the Hacienda del Sol. Of course, at 5501 North Hacienda del Sol Road. They're going to be hosting a really unique exhibit featuring the work of encaustic artists. Now, I don't know how familiar you are, Bill, with encaustic art, but it's this very unique genre that uses things like fire and beeswax and resin to really create two-dimensional and three-dimensional works of art. So they're going to be hosting this great this exhibit up there where you can actually get to know some of these encaustic artists quite well. Here's some live music performed by renowned guitarist Ismael Barajas. Now, of course, Bill, there has to be a food and beverage element to get my attention. So get this. The grill at Hacienda del Sol is going to be serving complimentary hors d'oeuvres and wine at this reception. You heard me right.
I was just going to say, are you saying free bees?
That would be free. Yeah, free wine. It really has been an oxymoron in the past. So yes, our good friends up at the Hacienda are going to be treating us to free hors d'oeuvres and free wine. The weather is going to be absolutely gorgeous. The flowers and the plants are in just vibrant colors up there at the Hacienda, and I think a lot of folks are going to want to sort of stick around for dinner, and if you do that, they're going to be providing some great appetizer specials as well. So a great, beautiful Sunday, relaxing afternoon up at the Hacienda. I can't wait.
And Ismael, I know his work. He's a terrific guitarist who will be entertaining folks. That sounds like a great way to spend a late, late January weekend.
Absolutely. For the mind, the body, and the spirit, indeed, a three-dimensional encounter.
On the Menu Live, what do you have coming up next Thursday?
Well, next Thursday, as your listeners might know, is the first Thursday of the month, which means that we're going to be down in Main Gate Square, as we are each and every first Thursday of the month, for the First Thursday Art Walk, which is this wonderful event that showcases the work of local artists. There's all kinds of street performers and beer tastings, wine tastings, food specials. We're going to be broadcasting live, Bill, from La Salsa Mexican Grill on University between Park and Euclid there and learning all about trends in salsa and what makes this place so great. Encourage all your listeners to stop by and say hello and come visit us on their way home from work. It's quite a party down there every first Thursday.
And I heard you last night on the Menu Live. I think you were doing the Tucson Originals. Is that the last Thursday of the month on the Matt
exactly.
Russell Show?
Exactly. The Tucson Originals Spotlight Show is our last Thursday of every month, and we had the opportunity to get to know Chef Daryl Wong last night from the Lotus Garden. We talked about Chinese New Year, which is next week. So there's so much great things going on in the food world here in the Old Pueblo.
Hey, Happy New Year. I think it's like year 4,700 something or other.
They tell me it's the year of the rabbit. I don't know what that means for you or for me, but I'm sure it's something to celebrate.
Hey, Matt, have yourself a terrific weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks
okay,
so much.
Okay, Matt Russell. He does our weekend watch here on the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by my good friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael C. Flowers, a personal friend of mine. Give him a call. Say hello to Michael. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, producer Rosemary Brandt, our marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Remember, it's buckmastershow.com. Check out our website, and we're here live 9 to 10, Monday through Friday on KJLL AM 1330. Have a great weekend.
Listen to this.
You're tuned in to Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.